Okay, we have a shiny key soil arts, I shall shame the cachon as in loch. When you come into limbs, Hashem will give to you, vishta, and you will inherit it. Via shaft, you will dwell in it. Via marti, you will say, Asimulai Melech, I will now appoint upon myself a king, Gecholha Goyim Asher Sivivoisai. Okay, so this is the parasha of Melech. Klal Yisrael is going to want to have a Melech like all of the other nations. Rashi Pasik Yud Dalet. There is no Rashi. Okay, there is no Rashi on this pasuk. Let's go over the Targum right away. Arei. It will be Te'ol La'ara. It will be, it's key. Arei means key. Te'ol, when you enter, Savo La'ara El Ho'oretz, the Hashem Lekach Yohev Lach, that Hashem gives you, Viser Sa, you will inherit it. There's a dot in the hay, which means Virishta, you will inherit it. And Visitevba, and you will dwell in it. The same man, you will say, Amane, I will appoint a lie upon me, Ma'alka King Kechol Amemaya Div Sach Ronoi. Like all of the nations that surround me. Sechor, Sechor, Amro Lenizu, you tell the Nazir, go around, take a circuitous route. Don't go near the vineyard. Div Sach Ronoi, same word, Sechor, around me. Let's see what we can learn from these words of the Targum in the Ma'at, sorry. Pasuk Yudalid, Amane, I will appoint. Which means, over here he says... Yes? Sorry, what do you say?
Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to say, Kechol HaGoyim? I mean, what... You know, someone would talk to me that way. Okay, I'll do what they do.
Very good. So this, in fact, is you're asking a loaded question, and maybe over here, what the pasuk really is telling you is that Hashem is predicting that you're not going to be where you should be. We mentioned many times that Chumash Devarim is the Chumash of Plan B. The first four Chumashim is Plan A. Nowhere in Plan A, in the first four Chumashim, is there a mitzvah to appoint the king. Nowhere in the first four Chumashim is there any mention of divorce. Is there a mitzvah of Yibum? All of these things are not good things. Exactly what you said, having a king is not a good thing. And maybe even if you have a king, you have a king for the wrong reasons. Is having a king because you want a dogma, malchusa, the adake, malchusa, the rakiya? You're having a king for the right reasons. And then there's having a king for the wrong reasons. In this pasuk, in these psuk, in these parashas, loading over and over, Hashem says, I know what's going to happen. You're going to go into the land and you're going to worship idols and you're going to do this out there and that out there. I'm warning you, don't do this. If you're going to do this, this is what's going to happen to you. This also fits that pattern. Hashem over here is not telling you, oh, it's going to be so wonderful. You're going to have a melech. I know what's going to happen. I know all of you people. You are problematic people. You are sinners. And what's going to happen is you're going to take for yourself want a king like all of the Goyim. You're going to want a king for all the wrong reasons. Okay, I have now my computer over here is frozen. Can you hear me still?
Okay. Rabbi, can I ask you
something? Yeah, sure.
A question along these lines. In last week's Parsha, and in this pasuk is also, there's Moshe speaking.
Yes.
And he refers... When you come to the land that Hashem gives you, but he doesn't name the land. Why he doesn't name it?
He doesn't name the land.
In the last week, part like four or five times also, that Hashem will give you. When you come to the place, to the place, you will be assimilated. He doesn't name. No name is given. Just general. When you come to that place.
Right. So what's the problem? Exactly, when you come to the land, which land?
Why Moshe doesn't name names?
What do you mean? It means Eretz Yisrael. I mean, what, I'm not sure.
But he doesn't say he will come to the land of Canaan, or let's say he doesn't say that. He leaves it open. When you come to the land,
that Hashem wants to give you. So yes, why doesn't it mention which land it is? I don't know the... I'm assuming that it's self-understood. It refers to Eretz Yisrael. I mean, that's what I would assume, but...
that's what we understand, but it doesn't say. Moshe doesn't say.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Like four times. It says four times you come to the land, but it doesn't say which land. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer. I gotta think about this. I don't know the answer. Why doesn't it say which land? Ki savo when you come, El Haaretz, the land. Which land? So I mean the partial answer is that whenever it says the word Haaretz, it refers to Eretz Yisrael. Stam Haaretz in the Torah refers to the Holy Land, Eretz Yisrael. Where else are we referring to? I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu told them many times that I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim to bring you to Eretz Yisrael, to the land that he promised your forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So the Pashup Shat, the simple understanding is that when it says in the Torah the word Eretz, Eretz refers to Eretz Yisrael. Why doesn't it say it specifically? I don't know the answer. And the Pashup answer, again, it's Eretz Yisrael. I don't know more than that. We've got to think about it. We have to think about it and keep our minds open to one day find an answer. You're right, you're making a good point, but I don't have anything to say. So here we have over here in the Ma'atzari, we have over here, he says, I'm going to appoint, Amane. Now again, Mark, to finish off your question, you're right, Mark, who says this is a good thing? Maybe it'll be HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to say Musa. I know what's going to happen to you people. You're going to come into the land, Asher Hashem Lechano say Loch, Vivushal Yashavtaba, and now you're going to misbehave. You're going to misbehave. Oh, let's be just like America. Let's be just like America. We'll have a national anthem, and we'll have a military, and we'll have this, we'll have this. We'll copy the Goyim. We want to be like the Goyim. Who's asking you to copy the Goyim? Be happy with what you have. Hashem gave you the Torah. Follow what it says in the Torah. Hashem, there's no question in this pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mocking Klal Yisrael. He's not mocking. He's telling you, he's talking about the reality. The reality is, you're going into Eretz Yisrael. You're not perfect. You're far from perfect. Moshe Rabbeinu is not coming with you. You worship the eagle. He spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. There is permanent damage that you are suffering from that's going to express itself, manifest itself in the years to come when you come into Eretz Yisrael, and it's going to take you 3,000 years until you repair the damage, until you grow up and appreciate what you have and bring Mashiach the way it was meant, the way it's supposed to be. It's going to be a long, long process. Hashem has all the time in the world, all the generations of the world until you repair yourself. But right now, Hashem is telling you, that's right, you're going to misbehave. You're going to say, I want to have a king. I want to have a king like all of the Goyim, no different. You're right, this is a big, big topic. Okay, right now, go back over to the target. I'm going to appoint. I want to appoint. L'shon milu usrada. Chumay shakasav ha-malbam. She-ha-mila olai olecha. All right, this means you want a ruler to rule, or you want a ruler over upon you. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Tesvav. So when this happens, Hashem says, "Go, good, fine. If this is what you want, gezuntehet, soim tosim olecha melech. Go right ahead. Appoint upon you a king. Asher yivchar Hashem elokecha boy. However, Hashem has to give his approval." It's not going to be just accepted automatically. Hashem must approve. Mikerev achecha. Here we start with some conditions. Number one, I'm having problems with my computer. My computer is really giving me a really hard time. I have to probably reboot this computer. Something really, really wrong here. I don't know if you see what's going on. I don't want to waste time here. I thought we could just salvage it until the shiur is over. I don't know what's going on here. All right, let's try now for a few moments. Maybe it'll work. Soim tosim olecha melech. Appoint upon yourself a king. Asher yivchar Hashem kechabo. Here's condition number one. Mikerev achecha. He has to be a Jew. Okay, and this is what happened in the time of after the Chashmonaim. Chordis, who built the Beis Hamikdash, he was not a Jew. Okay, and those, the whole dynasty, they were not Jews. You're not able to, you're not permitted. We learned last week, every time it's the word losucha means you're not permitted. Rashi pasuk tesvav. There is no Rashi. Targum. Pasuk tesvav. Mino'o timane. This is soim tosim. Allah upon you, Malko king, the Yisrael that wants. He's going, he's translating the word Yivchar to mean Yisra'el, Hashem Elokoch, Bey, him, Hashem likes him. Migoy Achoch, condition number one, he has to be Jewish. Migoy Achoch, from your brethren, Temane Aloch Malka, Les Loch Rishu, you have no permission. You're not permitted, Limano'o, to appoint Aloch upon you, Givar, a man, Nuchrai, a foreigner, a Gentile, Delo Achochu, that is not your brother. There's a lot of verbosity here in this pasuk. Let's see this is on the bottom over here. Pasuk Tezvah, very little bit over here. Les Loch Rishu, Ein Lochor Rishu, Svatulema, Kavanis Amikor, Lo Suchalhi, Lehaf, Lig Be'az Hara. We had this last week. Lo Suchal means it should be so forbidden to you as if you physically could not do so. A person can't physically pick up something that weighs 1,000 pounds. You can't do it. You can't do it. So when you tell a person, you don't have permission, you tell a person, you do not have permission to move the, I don't know what it would say, the safe. You have a safe in the room, right? It weighs 5,000 pounds. You do not have permission to move this to the side of the room. I don't give you permission. Oh, thank you very much. Even if you gave me permission, I can't physically move it. So it doesn't make a difference, permission, not permission. I can't do it. So Hashem is saying, according to the way he's explaining, we had this last week, is when I tell you do not do something, it's a light, it's like a feather. Maybe what the thing that I'm telling you not how to move, it's light like a feather. If you blow it, it'll move. But when I tell you, you do not have permission, the prohibition of Hashem in your eyes should be so severe, it's as if you physically can't do it. You tell a person, put your hand in the fire. Put your hand in the fire. He can do it. He can do it. There's nothing holding him back from putting his hand in the fire. So why doesn't he do it? I can't. You know the consequences of what that means, to put your hand in the fire. So physically, I can't. What do you mean you can't? You could. No, I can't. When something is the prohibition, when the reason not to do something is so powerful, it becomes equivalent to a physical impossibility. So when Hashem gives you a mitzvah, this is a very fascinating idea. We had this last week. There are different types of mitzvahs. Sometimes Hashem says, don't do it. Sometimes Hashem hints to you, it's a lav, haba, michlal, asay. There are different types of words not to do. He shomer lecha, leisase, al. Okay, Gemara has all these shomer. The Gemara has all these expressions to express all the various forms of prohibition. Here is the one that takes the cake. This one gets dessert. Because here it says, lo suchal. The severity of the prohibition is the spitz. It's not a lav, habo michlal asay. It's not don't. It's not al. It's not hishomer lecha. It's lo suchal. The prohibition is so massive, it should be in your eyes and your mind as if it was impossible to do so. Okay, that's what it says over here. We had that last week. Okay, les l'rishus l'haflig be'ha'azhara, to exaggerate, so to speak, of the warning. Upe rusho lo sitin yicholes l'nafshecha, do not allow your neshama to have the ability la'asos kocha. I mashakos avlo, that was last week. Do not put upon yourself a person that is a gevar nuchrai, a foreigner. La'am nochrib. Remember once on Friday we had a whole show on this? In America, Biden, I think his first executive order of the Biden administration was that in all of the federal documents, you're not allowed to use the term alien. You're not allowed to use that term. No more aliens in America. They are you know what a UFO is? An unidentified frum object. And what does frum stand for? You know the expression. Something in Yiddish that has full of mitzvahs and a few full of averus, full of rishus. Frum is a Yiddish expression, I don't know the Yiddish. Full of rishus and no mitzvahs, something like that. It's a real nasty acronym. Frum. In America we have a lot of UFOs, unidentified frum objects, roaming around. Mark, you like that? You tell that to them by mincha. That's, they just came from a shir where they identified, they explained what a UFO is. Unidentified from objects, and the word from stands for full of rishos and no, I don't know, you have to ask someone, they'll tell you what from stands. I forgot what it stands. If Meir was here, he would tell you in a second what it means. Meir knows that. So, you know, in America, you're not allowed anyone to call anyone an alien. There are no more aliens. There's citizens and non-citizens. The Torah knew about this, and the Torah said, I disagree with you, President Biden. There's something called an Ezrach and a Nochri. An Ezrach is a citizen, and a Nochri means an alien. That's how they translate in some of the English Chumashim, an alien. Okay, an alien. Okay, the Torah was not shy. Don't say there's a citizen and a non-citizen. That's wrong. There's a citizen and an alien. You're not allowed to appoint to Malchus an alien. Doesn't just say someone who's not your brother. Makes it clear, it means a nuchraya, a gevar nuchraya. Notice it says a man. Why can't there be a firm in America? They're waiting. When is there going to be a woman president? Think about this. Okay, when is it going to be a firm? When is it going to be a woman president? A firm woman president, not just a woman president. A firm woman president. She lights candles. Where's the president now? Where's the madam president? She's lighting Nero Shabbos now. She can't talk to you. She's a bubby. She went to the Chumash party, the Siddur party for her Enochel. She cannot have a meeting with the cabinet now. She's busy in Lakewood at the Siddur party for her grandchild. You'll have to reschedule your global warming conference another time. Weiter. It says here, a gevar, a man, nuchraya, who's a Gentile. La'am nochri targum legvar acharon. Sheshom hakavona yisrael acher, mash enkin kan shakavona nochri mamish. So he's saying over here, la'am nochri, that in Shemois it says la'am nochri. I don't remember the pasuk, we have to go look at the context. But there, it's interesting, the word nochri sometimes means somebody else. However, he just wants to point out that in this context, it means to a Gentile. You're not allowed to point to the position of Malchus and Klal Yisrael, a male who is a Gentile, which unfortunately happened. You see, Mark, that's exactly what the Pesach is going to foreshadow. Everything over here in this Pesach is going to foreshadow what's going to be in the future. Hashem knows good and well, you're going to have this Nisoyan, you're going to be one half a king like all the other nations, that itself is an insult. And then you're going, then not only that, you're going to get to the point where you're going to want to have a Goyish king. The Goyim are better. They know how to lead. We Jews, we don't know how to lead. We have no one amongst ourselves who is capable of being serving in this position. The Goyim, they're better than us. So let's import a Gentile to lead us. What a Chilul Hashem. And that's exactly what happened. In many, 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 many forms. Okay, that's it. That's all you have over here. That's all you have over here. We have to now go to the next Pasuk. The next Pasuk, Tez Zayin. Okay, it's Geshmak Estavi, Iraq. So it says, Gesundheit, do whatever you want. Now we're going to make conditions. We're going to make conditions. The king is not allowed to get carried away with himself. Rak, lo yav, lo yisusim. The king may not have too many horses. Lo yashiv, asav mitzrayim. But why not? So the Pasuk tells us, what is the danger? If you have too many horses, you're going to take the people back to Egypt. Leman harboi sus. Because of the abundance of horse. How does that happen? Well, see Rashi. V'yashem omar lechem. Hashem said to you, I no longer want you to return to Egypt. Let's see Rashi. Rashi passed that a king is only allowed to have enough horse for his chariot. You may not return the people to Mitzrayim. Why? What's the reason? That's where horses come from. Horses come from Egypt. Like it says here in the Rashi. Vatal vateitze merkava, it went ascended and it went up and it came forth and merkava and mitraim, besheish, meo is kesef. Each chariot cost 600 silver coins, visus, each horse cost 150. Okay, it's describing there what happened there in Melachim. And the point we need for our sugi is to teach you horses, they make the best horses in Egypt. Every country makes the best. Even today in America, who makes the best fighter jets? The Americans. Who makes the best tanks? The Israelis. Who makes the best drones? So you would think, what's the big deal? Go into Toys R Us. They're still in business, or they went out of business already? Toys R Us. You buy a drone, you go to Amazon. You go to Amazon, you buy a drone. No. The military drones, who would ever imagine? There's some Groyser Chachman that I don't know about. The best drones come from Turkey. You know that? Turkey, they know how to make drones. Why can't the Americans copy them? I don't know. The same reason why the Americans can't figure out how to make a tank, the Americans can't figure out how to make a drone. They need to go and get the best drones from Turkey. And Israelis are the best tanks, Americans make the best fighter jets or best engines. Every country, for some reason, has a mazel. It's not so clear how this works. Has a mazel. Hashem gave them a mazel, a koyach, to make the best. Horses, they make the best horse. They have the best factories, the best manufacturing facilities. They put in the horse the best parts, the best screws, and guidance systems in these things called horses. They're made in a factory. You know, horses are made in a factory. Everyone knows that. So where would you get the best horses? In Egypt. So what's going to happen? If the king's going to have so many horses, he's going to want, what it seems to say is, to actually own the factories where they make the horses. So he's going to return back to Egypt in order to explore business opportunities to make sure that he has the best horses. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. It's a very strange concept. Look at the puzzle one more time. Rakhlo Yavlo says of Lo Yoshim, why? Because he's going to return the people to Egypt. Laman Harbo Sasus. What does that mean? The whole Klal Yishol, they're going to go back to Egypt because they want horses? The king has a Mercedes? So the whole country, everyone's going to go to Germany to go get these things? It certainly doesn't make sense, but that's what it says. Hashem Amalechem Loisiv La'Loshu Derech Hazayit. Okay, let's see the Targum. Targum Pasuk Design says, L'choid only, lo yaske le sus von. The king should not have too many horses. V'lo yosiv yos amol le mitzrayim. Bedil le asko'o sus von, in order to increase horses. V'ashem amolcha lo seisvun limtov be'orcho hado'oid. Hashem said, do not return to this land anymore. Now let's see what's over here at the bottom. Sus von Lushan Rabim Kloshna Kosov Lil Pasik Vashkos Mimikra Sus Hushem Kolu Kamova Yhi Lishar Vahamar. He just putting over here the reason why it says over here Susim Leman Harbois Sus. Sus is one. So Rashi tells us the way he's explained the Targum translates the word sus as sus von. He translates it as many horses. So why then is it written in the Torah Lashon Yachid? The collective noun. Like Vayihili Shor Vachamar, he had many oxen, many donkeys. But when we refer to many, we refer to B'loshin Yachid, the collective noun. Now he goes on to say, but Avol B'shas Dorish Minayin Shafilu Sus Echad V'hu Bottle Shu B'lo Yarbe Tavoloi Mar Leman Harboi Sus, even one horse. Now, v'hu batel means what? What do you mean it's batel? I don't know what it means by that. Even because it says the word sus. Okay. Amar, lushan avar, kipash, shakaz, v'ilm, that the Ramban, shakavana, oim, melchem, achshav, sharei, ein, unkles, nimna, melachlif, lushan avar, lushan hoive. Okay, so here the question over here is, this is something over here. When it's over here, Hashem, omar, lochem. When did Hashem say this to you? When did Hashem say, do not return to Egypt? Well, when we left Egypt, there's a pasuk there, you're not allowed to return. Okay, that's all part of the discussion. To analyze where it said in before Hashem gave a command, you may not return to Egypt. When it said this before, did it say it as a command? Did it say it as a matter of fact? Did it say it as part of an expression of giving the Jewish people comfort? That all of the pain that you suffer, you're not going to suffer anymore? Whoever said that it's a command? That when it made mention of this concept that you're not going to return to Egypt anymore, whoever said that when it said that before, Hashem gave you that command as a mitzvah? Maybe not. Maybe it was never said until now as a command. It was just said as an expression of comfort. You're not going to suffer anymore. You're never going to come back to this place. But if you want to come back on a tourist trip, you want to come back come back over here to go visit, because good for you. Here, for the very first time, Hashem is giving you a mitzvah d'oraisa. You're not a loisase. You're not, I'm telling you, I do not want you to ever step foot in that land again. He's giving us a command. Omar, then will be, you have to translate with Omar. Omar in the present tense. Hashem now, today, is giving you a command. You may not go back. Is that the pshat? That's what it seems the Targum seems to say. The Targum, but that's not what the Targum seems, because the Targum says Amar. Amar, I don't know the grammar, but in the Aramaic, but it means the past. So the Targum seems to say that no, when it said this idea, I cannot quote for you at this moment, chapter and verse, but when it presented this idea in the past in the Torah in Shemois, that you're leaving Egypt and you're not coming back here, that wasn't just a nicety, a nice way of telling the Jewish people that your suffering has come to an end. That was a mitzvah d'oraisa. It was telling, I'm giving you a command, you never ever to go back to this land once again. And here Moshe over here is just repeating what he taught them before. Hashem told you in the past, don't go back to Egypt. Or maybe not. Maybe you'll find other Rishonim. I think the Ramban seems to say that no. Oimer lochem achshav. The Ramban disagrees. He says that whatever it says, this idea in the past that Hashem says do not go back to Mitzrayim, that was not a mitzvah. That was just an expression of comfort. And now for the very first time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving a mitzvah to you and do not want you to return to Egypt. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. The next pasuk says, I have to move this on the side because I can't see. One second. Okay. V'lo yarbe lo noshem. A king may not have too many wives. Why? V'lo yosu luvo. Because if he has too many wives, the wives are going to cause his heart to go astray. V'chesev izahav lo yarbe lo ma'oid. And he should not have too much money. Rashi says he may not have too many wives. Why not? Lo yarbe lo noshem. Elo shmoine esrei. He's only allowed to have 18 wives, like Shmona Esrei. He davened Shmona Esrei 3 times a day. Maybe what it means, you can have 18 wives in the morning, 18 in the afternoon, and 18 at night, like the Shmona Esrei. You say the Shmona Esrei 3 times a day. No, of course, this is a joke. How do we know this? David had 18 wives. How? Because David had 6. And Nosan Hanavi said to him, V'yom nemoloi v'yima'at, why do you need to go take Basheva? If you don't have enough, V'yosifu l'cha kohena v'chohena, I'll double and triple. So when you triple 6, you have 18. So from David HaMelech, we learn that the king's allowed to have 18 wives. That's the max. Shlomo HaMelech had 1,000 wives. And indeed, they swayed his heart. And he allowed them to make a temple for Avodah Zarah. V'chesev v'zahav lo yarbe lo mi'oid. Elok de'liten le'achsanya. He only gave him kesev v'zahav lo yarbe lo mi'oid. Should not have too many. Enough to give le'achsanya. U'svarim achedim le'afsanya. Okay, I'm not sure. I don't know what that word means. It means to his, what he needs, basically what he needs, l'achsanya, to his host. Achsanya means his host, which basically means to support the palace. The people that work in the palace, they need to have money so he can tax society to make sure that his those that accompany him have what they need. Let's see the Targum. Targum says in this pasuk, you're not allowed to have too much. The law, he may not have too many wives, so they should not go stray his heart. He should not have too much gold and silver. Let's see what it says over here in the Ma'at Sari. It says, Yite, they should not cause his heart to go astray. Le'el of the Kalman Tirgim Loshna Amikra, Sur B'Sharesh Satei. Which means to stray. Loshon hatoya mi'aderech. Avol kan shemusav avalev tigim loshon to'us. Okay, so he's saying something very, very good. He's saying a very important thing. The word v'lo yosur levavo, he's pointing out that this word is found often in Chumash. And most of the time, the Targum, he translates the word yosur to mean to go astray. That's not what it says here. It's an amazing insight. It says v'lo yite libe. Yite means a ta'us, an error. There's a major difference between making an error and going astray. When a person goes astray, it means he is entirely in the wrong location. So what does that mean? It means the whole person is gone. He's totally gone. He gave up on religion. He gave up on being a Jew. He's gone. He went astray. There's nothing left. When a person makes a mistake, what does that mean? He's a from Erlucha person. In this particular area, he made a mistake. He thinks this is the way it's supposed to be done, and it's not the way it's supposed to be done. And we need someone to come along and to correct him, and to correct him, explain to him that you've made a mistake. And being that he is with the program, that everything else about the person is correct and proper, and it's only in this specific detail that he's not following protocol, so then that's called a mistake. That's called a ta'us, a mistake. So Rashi here, the Targum here is very, very powerful. Targum here says, lo yaske libe, he should have too many wives, because the wives, they're not going to cause the king to go astray. He's not going to just give up his religion, but he's going to make mistakes. And when the king makes mistakes, that's a big problem. Even though it's not as so serious. He's not going astray, but it's not a good thing. And that's what it's like, Yitei Le'el, L'kamal Tegel Lashon L'amikar Asur, B'Shorch Sata. The word, the way we tell those who need to go astray. Lashon Atoya, Me'aderech Aval Kanj, Muzal Halei Tegim Lashon Tos, V'chein V'loi Sosuru, Acharei Levavchem Tegim V'loi Sit'un. Do not make a mistake. V'loi Perish V'loi Yosu Levavosh V'loi Yasiach Daitem V'loi Kaim Chem V'samelech. Okay, so this is a very important meaning, which is something that means to go what he means over here, lo yosu levava. Okay, let's go down to the next passage. Pasuk Yilches Vayikashivtai. When the king sits, al kisei mamlachto. When the king is sitting on his throne, v'chosav lo, he shall write for himself es mishnei hatara hazoitz al sefer. Now, what does it mean when mishnei? Mishnei means a second copy of this Torah. Milafnei hakayanim halavim. Now, what exactly does all that mean? Let's see over the Rashi. Rashi says, "V'ha'ya k'shiftoi im osakein, if he does so, k'day hu she'tiskaye malchusai." So Rashi is saying, "V'ha'ya, it will be k'shiftoi." Rashi is making a drasha. If the king will observe, im osakein k'day hu she'tiskaye malchusai. Let's see further. It's Mishnei Torah, Shtei Sifrei Torahs. It says Mishnei Torah. Mishnah means a second Torah. What does it mean, a second Torah? A king has two Sifrei Torah. Shtei Sifrei Torahs, achas shehi munachas bebeis ginozav. One is in the storage house. The achas nechneses v'yotzoi sima. One that goes in the way out with him. The uncle is tirgem pas shegen. What does that mean? Pas shegen posar mishneh l'shoin shinun v'dibur. Pas shegen means a decree, an edict, a decree, a proclamation. The Pashegen Hakisov, Lihiois Kolish Soirer Beveso. Pashegen Hakisov means this is the proclamation, this is the decree of what is written in this document. He translates the word Mishneh, Lashoin Shinun, to learn, to review, to sharpen your mind, Vidibur, and it's speech, it means it should be said. The teaching should be declared. It's a proclamation. This is what the king has decided and he wants the people to obey by. So let's take a look here. How it fits to the pasuk or the targum. Let's see the targum. We'll come back and put everything together because we're in our time. Let's go back to the targum. Targum pasuk Yitzchak says, "V'hei it will be kimit vei when he sits al." Kursei Malchusei, on the throne of his Malchus. V'yichtoiv lei, he will write for himself, Yos Par Shigan Oiraisa. He will write the instructions the proclamation of the Torah. Hadah, this proclamation of the Torah, al sifra, on a book, in a book, min from kodom kahanaya levo'e, in the presence of the Kohanim who are from Shevet Levi. Obviously, this needs a lot more explanation. Let's try to get a little bit of a taste of this from what he says over here in the Matzari. Parshagan. What is the word parshagan? Some have a different girsa in the Targum. Our girsa is he will write the parshagan. When he sits on his throne, parshagan. Some have different girsa. Pashagan. Instead of the resh, asaf. Kitsuras tevas, like in Megillah Sesta. There it says, Pashagan hakisa. So the Pashagan acts into the proclamation of the document. Same idea. Whether it's Pashagan or whether it's Parshagan, it's the same exact meaning. Kavanos, he explains, Nusach, the text. Okay, I didn't explain right, but it means the text. The text of the document says as follows. This I quote. This is a quotation from the document. Nuscha. Do dibur echad imaksav. Dibur echad imaksav harisha. Now, what does that mean? He's now quoting now a new interpretation of the Oruch. Kavanosoi. Toifes ksav. This means the essence. Let's read further. Gam Rabbeinu Sadyugoin. The Rabbi Avraham ben Ezra, Perish Mishneh Torah, Nuscha Shenis. What does that mean? He explains. Ubir Kavnosim Baal Aksav HaKabbalah, Shaloshoy Nuscha, Veloshon HaTek is to quote, Hamur Bufaneinu, Shneim Lushoyin Hasoras Devonim Mekoimam, it means to deliver words from its original location. Kono Vini Sachtem, you will be uprooted Miyal Huadama, Shematik Umeisir Devonim. You quote and you deliver words miguf haksav liksav acher. Sha'asoifer Torah shakosa shaleasefer Torah shakosa Moshe Moshe Levnei Levi yatik. Wow, Hamelech, he shall quote sefer Torah liatzmai. Avol Rashi Peir, that's an amazing thing he just said. This is an unbelievable one he just said over here. Let's explain. Okay, running out of time over here. Let's explain what he's saying over this. Incredible. The saying over here is, go back to the pasuk. We'll learn according to Unkelus now. Okay, it says here, V'hoya keshid lo kisei ma'am lachtoi, V'chosav lo, he'll write for himself, Es mishnei ha-toira ha-zois, al sefer, milifnei ha-koyin ha-leviyin. The essence of what he's saying over here is that the melech is going to copy. He's going to copy word for word what it says in the sefer Torah, that is in the presence of the Kohanim. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim from Shevet Levi have been given a special Sefer Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. On the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died, Chazal say Moshe wrote 13 Sefer Torah. How could he do that? I don't know, but that's what it says. He finished off 13 Sefer Torah, and one of them he gave to the Kohanim. He gave to Shevet Levi. And they put that Sefer Torah in the Oroin, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, with the Luchas. When the Melech is appointed, you know what he does? He goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he takes out the Sefer Torah that's in the Aron and he opens it up and he copies letter by letter into his document. And that's exactly what the Pasuk means. This is what it says to Unkelus. V'hoya chishivto al kisei mamlachtoi. The day that he is appointed to become Melech, you know, so he has to get to work. It's not an easy job to be a Melech. You just can't sit around, do nothing. What you do is, you take out a pen, and you take some parchment, the chosav lo, and you write for yourself, es mishnei ha-toira, the text, the nusach of the Torah. Why is it called the word mishnei? Because the word mishnei really means the second, number two. The original, number one is the original. That is sitting in the Aron HaKodesh, in the Kodesh HaKodoshim. That's the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu himself wrote and gave to Shevet Levi. That's number one. That's the original. When you now copy word for word what it says in this Sefer onto a piece of paper, you're now creating a copy. You're creating a Mishneh, a Sheni, a second copy. So you write for yourself Es Mishneh, the text, word Mishneh, because every time you have a text, it's been copied from the original source. So it's the second. HaTorah HaZois, Al Sefer. You'll write for yourself into a book. Don't write this on a flute or on a vegetable or on a wall or on stones. Maybe you think the king should write on stones. No. You write it on a book. From where? Where is your original text coming from? Who says that your original text is authentic? That's right. Milifnei ha-koyanim ha-leviim. The koyanim who come from Sheva Levi will give you their Sefer Torah, which is as authentic as it gets. And you, the Melech, will now copy word for word what it says in the Sefer Torah into your book. So it should be authentic. Your Malchus should be authentic because you're not copying a fraud. You're copying the real thing. And you should thus live up to what it says in the Sefer Torah that you copy. So after that, we'll continue this tomorrow. But this is already an incredible idea. The Uncle List is giving us a whole new Hezbin Mepshan the Pasuk. And it all starts by explaining that when it says the word Mishneh, is Paschegen, which means text. And a text is called the Mishneh because it's the second copy. This is the original. And when you quote from the original, you now produce a copy. So it's a second, it's number two. And it's the text of this Torah in a book, not upon stone or any other material. And where will you get your original Sefer Torah from? Milifnei HaKoyanim HaLeviim. Okay, to be continued tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem. Thank you both for coming. I'm Leiza Bachi, Mr. Rappaport, Shalom Aleichem. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful night. Be well. Be well. Zay gezunt.
My pleasure. Thank you.